The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome back to the second episode of the Jenkins and Jones Show, brought to you by the Volume Podcast Network. Jenkins and Jones, Thursday, February 4th, coming to you live and direct from Los Angeles via St. Louis, Richmond, Virginia,
there we go,
and Long Beach, California, hosted by my good friends, John, a.k.a. LeJethro Jenkins.
What's up, guys?
Tyler, a.k.a. Dragonfly Jones.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
And I'm Mike, a.k.a. Gardy B. A lot of stuff to talk about today. I'm very excited, and I'm hoping that we have a courtside heckler during this podcast, because
we going right into courtside Karen with it.
That's the new trend now, is we need a courtside heckler to get everything going.
It's interesting to me that, like, I'm looking at them. They're two obviously very, like, humans that I would hate, you know what I'm saying, to be around for a moment. And they found each other, and they're happy enough to love each other enough to take up for each other. And I think there's a lesson there.
Yeah.
It's that anybody can find anybody. Can find someone.
Every pot has a lid, is my country ass auntie. Yeah.
Because I would hate every moment I spent within a mile of those two. And they are fighting for each other. On TV.
But you ever seen two people who are just so terrible on their own accord that when they link up, you're like, that's good for y'all, because y'all are like the most terrible fucking combination. So I see where the fucking sparks flew. You know
what I mean? You're horrible, I'm horrible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They bond over going to games, sitting courtside, getting drunk, heckling LeBron, and then going home and having sex. Like, that's their relationship.
Bro, like, I don't have much to say about them at all, honestly. I mean, they're just outside of that moment, I never want to think about them again.
I don't want to go into any speculation, so I will just go off what it seems to be the most confirmed fact here, is that Bron told that motherfucker some old steroid ass and then walked off. And that is perfect, and I love it, because that motherfucker looks like fucking 2050 Bret Hart. Like, that motherfucker is built bad as fuck.
Bro, and he's so red. Yes. There's definitely steroids to a human that is that, yes, red all the time. Every image, he was bright red. You know what I'm saying?
He's built in the way where you can see that he, like, puts work into his body, but it's still fucked up. So it's like, dog, I don't even know what you're doing here, man. You
know what I mean? So, right, yeah, right.
Did you see, I appreciate social media, because you don't have to look into people like this. You assume that, like, the Twitter detectives and IG detectives are just out there. Did you see people came up with, like, 4 Instagram posts this dude had from the, yes, last 3 years?
He's like, you can tell I don't like this guy, motherfucker.
It's like, yeah, dog. All pictures of him courtside with LeBron, yeah, talking about how much he doesn't like,
yeah,
LeBron.
You can tell I don't like this motherfucker. You see how I'm looking at him? I was like, dog, your scary ass isn't even side-eyeing him. When he can't,
right?
Like, you're looking straight ahead. Like, Bron can't even see you grilling him if you try to grill him. You could be a fake tough guy if you wanted to, but he was just straight ahead. And I was like,
you're also posting multiple pictures of this dude on your Instagram.
Because that hate is not hate.
Carlos Daddy 76 or whatever. Like, you are posting pictures of him on your Instagram. Like, my son has a poster of LeBron on his wall. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Have you guys ever, like, truly disliked a player, like, because of them playing a sport? You know what I mean? Like,
No.
Yeah, that's just, like, what type of human are you when you, like, are in a whole adult and you dislike a grown man for his job, for him being good at his job? You know what I mean?
I've, like, been with my wife since I was 18 years old, bro. Like, I've had better shit to do for my entire life. You know what I mean? Than to be mad enough at someone. It's not even like there's no history between Bron and the Hawks like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's been pro athletes I've disliked because of stories I've heard about them
outside of the sport.
Yeah. Things they've done to people that I know or something like that, but never like, oh, I don't like Kevin Durant because I just don't like the way he plays basketball. Like, you know what I mean? I honestly don't understand where that comes from. It's some sort of inner problem that you're projecting outwards, in my opinion.
That's common with fandom, though, because when Kevin Durant made his decision, people flat out did not like Kevin Durant anymore. And I mean, like, I didn't like the decision. Yeah. I'm not going to dislike the man because of that. That's just such a weird thing about fandom, how you can actually dislike a human for them being good at their job or doing something you didn't want them to do. That's just odd.
You're not going to pay $10,000 in a pandemic to sit courtside, pull your mask down, and cuss out Kevin Durant? It didn't reach that level for you?
No, not never, never. I can't afford that, actually, too. So maybe, I don't know, but
I thought the other thing that interested me out of this story was just that Bron obviously was just like, he could care less.
He was laughing.
What I mean? Yeah, of course,
and he didn't want him to get kicked out either. He's like,
he didn't want him to get kicked out. And he said he hopes people don't use this as an excuse to not. He was like, I still hope we let fans into more arenas.
Yeah,
because it's like, how many NBA minutes has LeBron James logged? Like, he probably needs stuff like this just to keep him interested, bro.
Listen, bro,
he's so good. Like, he's done it so much. He's bored with the game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I feel like sense. LeBron is fully aware that he is perhaps the most hated athlete in the fucking social media era. And if you take away the motherfuckers who I can like curse out, you know, to let some of that stress out. Yeah, he's like, nah, don't do that, bro. I get it.
You think he's the most hated?
In the social media era, absolutely. Yes.
Yes. I can't really even think of anyone else that there's like a consensus.
In social media area,
I mean, with the exception of dudes who've been horrible people off the court, you know, like we talked about or whatever. But like,
I feel like KD was the most hated player in the game. For
people
like,
don't care about KD like that though, bro. People, there is no dude on the internet with eight Instagram posts in the past. Like,
all right, you can tell I don't like this guy. I guess that's true.
I mean, I know I would agree with Tyler because I can't even think of. I mean, even we've talked about this. We've talked about this before. Like, Bron opened a school and people took time out of their day to go on the internet and say, you know, we got some government funding for that school. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
do you not know how sponsorship works just because of the name is on it? Yeah, motherfuckers really being dorks about this motherfucking, you know, getting, you know, free education and fucking free bikes and shit to kids. Yeah. Motherfuckers hate Bron, dog. On a ridiculous level.
I mean, I feel like Tyler's more on the front lines of Bron stand-up than John. So Tyler, I feel like you catch him. You're like that meme of the soldier protecting the sleeping girl. You catch some heat. Right. You got some heat on Twitter over Bron, bro.
Listen, I want to tell both you guys something. I see shit on Twitter you guys couldn't fucking imagine. Okay? You couldn't fucking imagine. You don't know the fucking type of replies I get. You don't know what my fucking mentions look like. You with your with your fucking 44,000 followers. That's a lot. That's a lot.
You low key shitting on me, right?
No, I'm not.
You and your 44K followers haven't where I've been. You haven't seen what I've seen.
I'm not trying to shit on you. Just listen to my ominous narrator voice for a second. You with your 44,000 followers, you haven't seen shit I've seen with 190,000 followers. Okay, the shit I see every fucking day. Every
Tyler has 190,000 followers, and 100,000 of them are Carlos Daddy 76.
Yeah. But honestly, I see a lot of shit on my shit that I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening. But you know, mute, whatever the fuck. But yeah, I used to see shit, you know, and I would respond to a lot of motherfuckers, but I don't do that anymore. Because
that's the thing I stopped doing. Yeah. I guess you've 2 years that ago,
you've learned it's not a game for the other people.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll respond sometimes, you know what I mean? If it's fun. If I'm really mad, like
that's the exact shit I'd be on. If I can get a joke in on my response, okay, I'll
right.
But yeah.
So in other words, you're both taking the LeBron approach. I'll call you old steroid ass, and then I'm gonna keep laughing and move on about my day.
Right. I call somebody Benjamin Button real quick, and then
Exactly. did you guys catch the Nets Clippers game on Tuesday night?
Oh, yeah. That was a good fucking game, man.
That's my favorite game, favorite non Laker game this year. That was a great.
It was a great fucking game. But when you have fucking Nick Batum and Marcus Morris going blow for blow with KD and Kyrie and
Kyrie Harden. And Harden is not happening.
You're gonna get that L every fucking time, and that's what happened that night.
I think the Nets are coming out of the East.
I don't think this year, dude.
I just
not this year. I think the thing is they have to be perfect in like offensively because they're so bad defensively.
Exactly.
And so they're margin as good as they are and as good as the players they have, their margin of error is very low.
All they have to do is get in the way defensively. All they need is effort. They don't even need to be that good. They just need to try, bro, because they're gonna score 130.
You're gonna need to make stops. You're gonna need to make stops.
I feel like I don't think
they make enough stops.
I feel like that you need to make stops. That's conventional basketball fundamental 101 wisdom. That's a fucking loony.
Right.
But man, did you see Kyrie, Harden, and KD?
Oh my
God. Right?
Their net is like 0.5 points better.
Right.
Like 0.5 points, even as good as they are.
Exactly.
They're equally as bad defensively.
Yeah.
So if they're not humming on offense as they were, yeah, dude, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Harden got a triple double. Kyrie gave you 30 something. KD gave you one of the most efficient games we've seen. This was 11 for 13 with almost 30. Yeah, but like, damn, they didn't be able to do that, you know, 4 out of 7 games and against really good teams.
Here's my thing. Like, John, like,
it's excited to think.
Like, we know that that's conventional wisdom. You need to get stops late in the game, right? But when you've got Harden, Kyrie, and KD, you know,
are they going to play the whole game too?
They're going to play crunch time.
Wizards put up 100 million on them. You know what I mean? Like, that's what are the Lakers going to do with them? What, you know what I'm saying? Like, what, if the Wizards are like bottom of the barrel in the league, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Hawks, how much are they going to put up on them? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be very hard. I mean, dude, everybody's good in the league. I mean, there's a lot of really good teams. And if you can't stop anybody, you have three of the best offensive players, but you got to make stops too. There has to be a balance. Somewhere.
My whole thing,
they were perfect last night.
My whole thing is, I think when you got guys like Kyrie, KD, and Harden, they shift the convo from who's going to get a late, you know, late game stop to like who's going to fucking come up short first on the offensive end between, you know, these new guys and that other team.
I need to see more basketball. I need to see.
Yeah, we need to see more
because dude, like watching.
We're still early, but I'm just saying. But a game against the Clippers, and I have to say, as a lifelong.
But did you see the games prior to that they lost and why they lost them? That they weren't perfect in the fourth quarter.
Look, we're early in the experiment. You know what I mean? We have a ways to go to the playoffs. So the Clippers game means more to me than. We're fucking around and we're not taking the Wizards seriously. We give up 100 million. You know what I mean? But I was impressed by, I think you saw in the Clippers game again, they don't have to be high level execution in terms of defense. If they're trying, if Kyrie is trying defensively, you only have to hold the other team to like 120. And you know what I mean? And you have a pretty good shot to win the game. Like, but that's what the math is going to be for them.
There was a stat that those three are the top three in the league in fourth quarter points. But they have to be. That's why. They have to be to win by 2 against the fucking Clippers.
There's also,
you know what I'm saying?
There's also a stat.
Wait, that was only 1-4? You saying that? Yeah.
But I would add, they, you know, Joe Harris, I mean, they also have some dudes that are
a shooter.
They have the pieces that they need, you know what I mean, to lube it up. You and I feel the same way about the depth they gave up. You know what I mean? I do think they didn't help themselves there. I don't think they match up well with bigs, obviously. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, man, if you feel like you can consistently stand at the whiteboard and say, we have pieces that add up to 125 points in 4 different ways. So defensively, your mission is to hold them to 120. You know what I mean? Like, that's a unique position to be in.
Out of the top 5 most unstoppable players offensively in the league, they have 3 of them.
Right.
I mean, you can't deny that.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We were able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installation, or cleaning. Angie has simplified finding help for home projects. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects from start to finish.
Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
And Kyrie.
Oh, he's special.
Like,
he's special.
Oh, my God.
He's so funny.
I mean, special. People are so... I just
I feel like
you see why the Nets are willing to deal with whatever comes. First of all, whatever came with Kyrie, I mean, dude, he deserves the right to take time off. He is human, and we talk about what he's dealing with, mental health issues. You know, like, dude, that's you're going out playing basketball during COVID. There's a bunch going on. I get that. You know what I'm saying? Let him do that. But even if it wasn't that, you see how good fucking Kyrie is. And his fucking, he's the only him on the planet.
Hold on. Here's Kyrie since he took the 2 week break. 37, 38, 28, 16, 26, 25, 26, 39. Is he the best argument ever for taking a mental health day, bro?
I mean right. Like, yes. Keep your employees happy, bro. Is that fucking simple? Yeah. That's when you get the best production out of them. And
if you're at work
field.
Listening to this on Thursday and you're not feeling it, take the day off and make it up on Friday, bro. You know what I mean? I just like, it's as clear as it could be.
I mean, and the thing is, like, what's wild to me is like, he looks like when he does it, it looks impossible, but it also looks like he's not trying simultaneously.
Listen,
it's just so easy to him. It's
I'll, I'll, I'll say this. Kyrie has been in the league since 2011, and he still hits me with, oh, my fucking God, I didn't know he could do that. 10 fucking years deep, right?
Last night, I'm looking at him, and I'm like, oh, my God. The shit face for the whole fourth quarter. Like, I mean, like, he'll do it, and I'm like, I'm still shocked.
Yeah.
You'd think by this time I would, and it's
10 fucking seasons deep. And he's, and he still fucking blows my mind. 10 seasons deep.
Because that's why when like,
they're just fun. I mean, that's my part of me wanting them to come out of the East is just, I just want to watch, you know what I mean? When we get to, especially
I get
the
playoffs, that. You're I watching every game. That.
I just want to see them. Like, they're so much fun. I felt the same way about the Warriors. Okay. I know people are mad at KD, but just as a basketball fan who's watched like literally thousands of games, right? I just want to see shit that I'll never see again. I want to see shit that I've never seen. And like, KD is a third option. You know what I mean? Like Kyrie as a finisher with James Harden distributing. I mean, it's
Harden and Kyrie going back and forth at the one. I mean, that's beautiful to watch.
I just want to watch. You know what I mean? It just as a fan of basketball, I just want to see it.
Kyrie pulls up. Harden comes down, step back. You know what I'm saying? KD do his thing. Kyrie go to the bucket with some.
You can see eight unstoppable moves in a row. You know what I mean?
There was a point when they were down five. And I think in like a couple minutes, they were up 10. I mean, that's reminiscent of the Warriors. And as much as I talk shit about the Warriors, I'd have to be an idiot to not watch as much Warriors basketball. You know what I mean?
We watched the Warriors. You know what I mean?
Watched
so even if you didn't like them, we watched it. Yeah.
I've written so many stories. All the stories I've written, 30% of them have probably been about the Warriors because I watched so much Warriors basketball. My sister hated them just as much as me, and she paid more money to watch them than maybe even more than Bron. Because you know you're not going to see a Warriors team like that again.
You're not wasting your time. You know what I mean? You know you're going to get a story out of the game. You're going to get something you haven't seen before or whatever exactly. else. You know what I mean?
It's always beautiful to see anybody being great at something. You know what I'm saying? And I hated the team. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to not see step through step things. But this Nets team, it's fun as hell to watch. Fun as hell to watch. I don't know if it's a winning formula. I do know I'll enjoy the fuck out of it. I do think you have to make stops. But I'm not trying to be a motherfucking Steve Wojciechowski slap the ground ass motherfucker right now. You know what I mean? I just am being honest. I think
race to 150.
I think it's you said what?
I said it's just a race to 150, baby.
Okay. I mean, and the Nets are going to win that more times than not. Against good teams, it's going to be harder. But I will say this: they went against the two best guard defenders. You know what I mean? Two to three, four best guard defenders in the league. And like
KD and scored 124.
KD went 11 for 13. Wait, you know what I'm saying? Like, how the, you know, Kyrie, they're just that unstoppable. And then, you know, like I think Harden got 24, but he chips in with like, you know, double digit assists, hella rebounds. You know, I saw him out rebound Zubac in the fourth quarter a couple of times. I'm like, they're special. They're special. Bro. And you can't deny that.
Did y'all see that shit that the Nets have the highest offensive rating ever in NBA history and the lowest defensive rating ever in NBA history at the same fucking time?
You have to love that. I mean, just again, like it is the ultimate experiment.
Yes.
Can we just come out and try and outscore you? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm so fascinated by that. Yes.
Maybe they can miss
and the worst. Right. The best and the worst.
The best and the worst, bro. Two fucking oppositional fucking points on the spectrum, bro. Like, trying to make that shit work. This is interesting as fuck.
Everybody talks about defense wins championships. Maybe this could be the first time that somebody's proves that wrong.
You know what? That's always been bullshit. And the best players win championships. And that's why I said about those three dudes, because we said the same shit about the Lakers last year. There's no one that the Lakers are playing in the playoffs whose second best player is better than Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to win those games. And it's going to be the same thing with the Nets.
They had great defense, though, guys. So it's like they were top two
absolutely.
In the league in defense?
Absolutely, the Lakers did. Absolutely, the Lakers did. But
teams were just super offensive to this extent and just you know, just absolutely trash on defense they want.
The stats say nobody. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's not complete bullshit.
Well, so here's our perfect segue into talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's football time.
And I mean,
time to be some football.
Football's different from basketball, bro, but give me a good quarterback over a great linebacker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's this matchup is like, I feel like the Roger Goodell has got to be creaming himself. Bro. You got to be about as happy as could be. You get 43-year-old Tom Brady in his 10th Super Bowl, which is offensive, going up against Pat Mahomes, who might be the only dude I've ever seen that has a chance to eventually unseat
out-goat the GOAT. And they're head-to-head with it. You know what I mean? Like,
bro,
the story is
this is the Bron Kobe. This is the Bron Kobe finals. You know what I mean? Like, this was
that we didn't get.
This is the story that we wanted that we didn't get. Bro,
that's my whole thing. The NFL lucks up so much. The stars align for them so many times to where they get these fucking invigorating storylines, bro. Like, think about all the Super Bowls you watch. How many of them came down to the last drive? Right, like it's some movie shit going on when you get the Super Bowl.
Like the Hawks. Yeah, I mean the Falcons. Yeah, you know what I mean.
So many Super Bowls come down to like the last drive, and it's like the fucking NFL just lucks up so much, and we've got the whole, you know, the young goat versus the old goat. Like Mahomes is flat out the most talented quarterback I've ever seen in my life, ever, and he's 25. You know what I mean? And I say Brady is the goat. Because Brady checks off every box you want him to check off, right? Like
Brady is like if Bron wins another two titles, how we've talked about this, where it's like you're just not gonna be able to say shit about
exactly.
Him.
Everybody
like when he got to this Super Bowl, I'm like, he's been to he's been to 10 of the last 20 Super Bowls. What the fuck am I gonna say about
But him? He's been past the shut the fuck up point, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No
team in NFL history has won more Super Bowls than him.
Right.
Yeah. Like no team has won more Super Bowls than him.
Yeah.
Six is the most. You know what I'm saying?
I think Brady is the GOAT because he checks every fucking box on the greatest of all time list. Right. Like you want peaks? He had a 50 touchdown season. You want longevity? He had his first Super Bowl in fucking what 2002.
2001.
And here we.
His first Super Bowl was the Super Bowl played after 9/11, bro.
He had his first Super Bowl, you know, right, 20 fucking years later. Here he is.
Is he the only person still playing football from that, like, maybe that season?
No, there's other people. I mean, it's just people that's, like, boring people. But, like, Tyler and I just talked about Mercedes Lewis.
Okay, for
you
sure,
know what I mean?
Sure.
He's been in the league. I mean, he was not quite as long as Brady. But, I mean, there's kickers and shit who've been in for 20 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But – he's different. Did you see the side by side someone put up of when he was the shot of him in NCAA football in the video game, and then the shot of him in Madden 21? And it's like this man has been in the NFL for as long as like video games have been relevant.
Yeah. So like I said, he checks off the whole fucking, you know, the peak argument, the longevity argument, and then we talking rings, six of the motherfuckers, like. Right, like he checks every box off. But Pat motherfucking Mahomes, let's talk about this motherfucker, right?
Didn't he like he started playing quarterback like as a junior in high school or something like that, right? Like it was
he's a baseball player,
right? Like he picked it up on some. We'll see how this goes. And he's the coldest motherfucker I've ever seen.
I always said Rodgers was the most talented quarterback I've ever seen, but I think Mahomes is. I really do.
There's not a throw Mahomes can't make, though.
Exactly that.
And there's throws that he can make that nobody else can ever make. You know what I'm saying? Like
Exactly. Because Mahomes can make all the throws Brady can make. Brady can't make all the throws Mahomes can make.
Now. He's fucking 43.
Not even at his peak. Not fucking.
No. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I mean, one of the things that's crazy to me, I watched a couple Bucks games during the regular season. I thought Brady was like, you know, we saw it with Ben Roethlisberger. We saw it with Drew Brees in the playoffs where it's like, eventually your arm falls off, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We saw it with Peyton.
When it happens, it happens.
Playing with Denver in the Super Bowl that month.
You could tell halfway through the first quarter. And once, I mean, it's like, it's not coming back, bro. There's no shot you can get at halftime.
That shit dead, my boy.
You know, like I said, I feel like the NFL always gets these fucking ABC story, ABC Family, Sunday Night Movie storylines, bro. Like, we got the fucking, you know, the greatest of all time versus the Young Buck coming for that spot. And they're saying it's going to rain on Super Bowl Sunday. Like, we're going to get the whole fucking experience in Thunderbolts and
I
shit.
I can hear the NFL films, like, yeah.
Right. We're going to get a fucking shot of Brady getting sacked and picking up some mud and shit and slinging it down. And then
there'll
back
be a documentary about this game. Shit,
right? NFL always loves something like that with this fucking super storyline shit, man.
That's why whenever people say, like, make jokes about the NBA being rigged or something, I'm like, don't you think we would have had better shit?
So much.
You know what I'm saying? If it was really rigged, bro, like, you think it would have been Lakers Heat in the finals last year?
Right. You know,
if the shit was rigged, like,
they don't care about anything, they care about money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's not the way to that. You know what I mean? Like, come on, G.
But on some serious shit, you know who intrigues me the most in this whole Super Bowl matchup? It's Bruce Arians. That dude is so fucking interesting to me. He is a white man who wears Kangols. Like, how many of those exist in the wild? I've seen, like, maybe two in my lifetime, bro.
He's a white Mike, but his name is Bruce. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a unique dude, bro. Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of stories out there from dudes who play with him about, like, yeah, he's a different guy, bro.
And the thing is, Bruce Arians pulls those Kangols off. Like, you got to be a rare motherfucker to pull a Kangol off, dog. Like, it's like Bruce Arians and fucking Samuel Jackson and LL Cool J in 86. And that's, like, the three motherfuckers who ever pulled a Kangol off, dog.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the ultimate motivation, and it's why I would never, I mean, Mahomes is why I would, you know, pick the Chiefs. The ultimate motivation is Andy Reid said if they win, he's going to get a double cheeseburger instead of a cheeseburger. Shit. So I just, Andy. Nothing's going to come between Andy and the double cheese, bro.
Andy fucking it up. But on some serious shit, I do want to give Bruce Arians some props because I feel like the legacy, you know, the trademark that Bruce Arians has is that he's a guy who's all about fucking inclusion. Right, like he's a dude who you look at his staffs, it's black dudes all over that motherfucker. Like, he's always been a dude who's about inclusion and you know trying to shake shit up. He's not someone who just, you know, throws out statements and about you know, Black Lives Matter, blah blah blah. He walks the walk, talks the talk, all that shit. So shouts to Bruce.
He doesn't just ask his DB's coach to film a video on February 1st or whatever.
Right.
I believe they're the only team in the league where all of their coordinators are black.
Yeah.
I think the Bucks are the only team where that's the case. And obviously the NFL, I mean, it's a real ugly look for them right now that you have, especially a dude like Eric Bieniemy, who, like, what else would you want from a performance? You know what I mean?
The biggest fucking offensive mastermind coordinator in the fucking sport.
He has a quarterback that can make all these throws no one else can throw, and he's found every single one of the throws.
Right.
To me, you know what I mean?
Right.
For sure.
Right. And on some other shit, Bruce Arians, you know, he's always been big on inclusion in regards to, you know, racial diversity and shit, but he's been that way with women too. Like, he has a woman on his coaching staff, bro. And it's not just on some PR fluff, you know, assistant to regional manager bullshit. Like, he has a woman who is an assistant D-line coach, bro. Like, Bruce Arians has a woman in the fucking film room who is scheming up ways to get after Mahomes in the Super Bowl. That's big shit, bro. Like, you know, like, and props to Arians. He's a great fucking coach. Like, he's won Coach of the Year, like, twice, I think. But, you know, this is the shit that matters. Like, this is the shit that you know, when you leave your, you know, your fucking thumb pin on the game, people are going to look back on it. And
legacy building.
Right,
shit.
Right. And I think Arians' legacy is going to be that, you know, he was all about inclusion and, you know, trying to affect change in that way. So, shouts to Arians.
Is that enough to
make while wearing a Kango?
Yeah.
While wearing a Kango.
Inclusion and Kangols, bro. Like, that's a cool ass legacy.
That's a hell of a legacy, right? Bro.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Equality and Kangols, bro. Damn, that's cool as fuck.
But that's the ultimate question for me. Is that enough to make you root for Tom Brady, though?
Hell no. Nah. Fuck you mean.
That's tough.
No,
I would go Chiefs, baby.
Yeah,
right.
I feel like I'm good either way it goes because, you know, either Arians or Mahomes is gonna win, right?
All right, you know, yep. So, you're rooting for a good game.
Exactly. And listen, Mahomes, if Mahomes is 25 with the MVP and two rings.
Two of them?
Oh, my God. He might be my GOAT before he's 30, dog. Like,
he said, oh, my yeah. God. You were flustered, Tyler.
I was flabbergasted.
Oh, my God.
I was flummoxed.
You look overwhelmed, yes. My boy.
I would just say, as a 36-year-old, I hope Tom Brady's body does not actually physically fall apart on the field. I don't fucking get it. And I'm not a fan of pseudoscience, but I'm like ready to drink the nano bubbles or whatever. Like, he's 43. I'm inclined to think he lied on his birth certificate or something. Like, it's a Pop Warner game. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't be 43 in the Super Bowl, bro. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
My knee was hurting after the driving range today, bro. Like,
at 5 years, almost 6 years decade younger than him.
Yeah, they 6 y'all me. Yeah. So, like, come on, dude.
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free, John and Tyler. I'm talking about NBA In Play. It's absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA In Play turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA In Play, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is easy to use and takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. It doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA In Play is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. I like that.
Good job, Mike. Good job.
It's not over yet. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA In Play today. All right, now back to the show. All right, you wanted to talk about the fight of the century.
I don't think it's just.
Okay, hold on. Let's
set the fight of the
century.
Set the scene. It's like, what the fuck? I want to talk about what the fuck. That's what I want to talk about. Like,
Lamar Odom and Aaron Carter, yes, have apparently signed a fight deal.
How is this a fight? It should be a massacre. I'm looking at this like, dude, Lamar Odom, you know, he could punch me from across the city street. He could punch me from across the highway. You know what I mean? Like, your boy, Aaron Carter? Is my height and probably 40 pounds lighter. You know what I mean? He has a foot on him in height, probably maybe 40 pounds in weight. Who's making these fights? You're sending him in there to get eaten up. He's food. I don't know, man. It's kind of fucked up too, because Lamar Odom, like, I remember Lamar Odom, was it Rhode Island?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When he played college ball, you know what I mean? When he first was playing with the Clippers and shit like that. Like now he's fucking fighting Aaron Carter. You know what I mean? Bro. You know?
Bro, I feel like Aaron Carter is some.
He has a ring!
No, I feel like Aaron Carter is someone who I have no idea what he exactly does, but I have to know who he is because everyone else knows who he is. Like, I don't know if this motherfucker is a Disney actor, a fucking singer.
He's a brother of somebody that actually did.
Oh, really? That's what he is. Okay, that makes sense.
He's a brother of one of the Backstreet Boys.
Wow, that is.
Aaron Carter is an American rapper, singer, songwriter, actor, dancer, and record producer. He first.
He's
came
everything.
So he has not been good at any of that 1990s. Shit,
bro. Well, that's when you're everything. That he's everything because he's nothing, dog. Like, it's not.
Yes, he's Nick Carter's brother. I think he toured with the Backstreet Boys at some point.
If Aaron Carter wanted to fight you, well, I would laugh. I don't know if I could fight Aaron Carter with, you know, like, I feel like Aaron Carter is the dude you fought, and you'd be embarrassed to tell your homies after you fought him. You know what I mean? Like, 3 years later, somebody brings up you fought. Man, why you tell him, bro? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would be embarrassed to tell people that I punched Aaron Carter in his shit. You know what I mean? Like, he's fighting. He's going to, like, he's getting paid to fight. I just, I don't, I, if he tried to fight me, I'd probably laugh. I'd be like, man, come on, man. Let's be cool. You know what I mean? Listen. You want to hug him? Like, come on, bro. It's all love. You know, just relax.
Listen, bro. It is no secret that combat's...
You don't want to...
Bro, it's no secret that combat...
Stick him out. You know what I mean? Like, get the man the fuck out of here, bro.
It's no secret that, like, combat sports, you know, these bouts and shit, that shit is like mini race wars for America. And I feel like I feel like Lamar versus fucking Aaron Carter is like revenge for fucking Logan Paul versus
Well, we said after the Logan Paul Nate Robb fight, we said this was the most talked about boxing right. Like night for boxing. And we said we're gonna see more of this sideshow shit. Yes. Like, this is what it's gonna take to get people fired up about boxing, bro. Like, it's sad to say it.
How heartbreaking was that? How heartbreaking.
We don't need to relive that. We don't need to relive
right,
that.
Right.
Because hold on,
but James, what happens?
Hold on, James has just
if
sent
there
me the
happens
stats.
To Lamar Odom.
No, James has just sent me the stats. Aaron Carter,
whatever. Yeah,
he's 6 foot, 159 pounds.
Hold on, 6 foot flat.
159.
Lamar is
5'11", 2 or 3 or something.
6'10" and 229 pounds. Like, how is this legal?
Hold up. Saying Lamar is 6'10", 229, that's 24-year-old playing weight. This motherfucker's about goddamn 280.
He's probably 250 or something. You know? At least 250.
That's 24-year-old playing weight there, bro. But yeah, he would murder that fucking kid. And I feel like I feel like motherfuckers are cashing in because people want to see blood for what fucking Logan Paul did to Nate Robb.
It's like they stacking the deck now. That will never happen again. Yes, we will never see another man laid out like that asleep. They're proving Carter... NBA fighters can fight by fighting the man that can't fight at all, bro. You know what I mean? It doesn't balance out, G. Like,
if Aaron Carter gets a tap in on Lamar Odom's chin, we're gonna see Andrew Bynum come jumping over the ropes, bro. Like, it's fucking WWE. Like,
they don't jump that man, right? No, it can't happen again. You know what I mean? Like, dog, that was anyway.
Goddamn, Nate Robb just said all this motherfucking shit off, dog. Nate Robb has altered the zeitgeist. Like, we're going to fucking spiral down an irredeemable hole trying to redeem Nate Robinson.
Who's next? You know what I mean? Like, how far did you go to the point where you get Lamar Odom and Aaron Carter? Like, who said, like, how far did they go down the list to get to that point? You know what I mean?
Because you know they look for...
They had a special...
Okay, we need an ex-NBA player people have heard of.
Who were scrambling, you know, who were down bad and would do some shit like this.
On the list of people that are scrambling, they're, like, squeezing into the top 50.
Ain't nobody...
Aaron Carter may barely be top 100, dog.
They're the only one who responded to the mass email they sent out to.
Right?
They emailed alums.nbpa.com.
Dog, I don't know how that was even made.
And then they went on Google image search and looked for white blonde singer.
Right. They know what made the last fight racism. You know what I mean? That's what'll sell fights. Run it back, baby. Let's cash out. It's American way. You know what I mean?
So are we watching it?
Hell yeah.
I'm watching that motherfucker. I will illegally watch that shit on my computer for sure. Fuck else I'm going to do? It's a pandemic. I'm at home fucking 365 days out of 365. Goddamn right I'm watching that fucking train wreck.
Let me just say this. If you follow at Dragonfly Jones, at LeJethro Jenkins, and at Gardabasio, 2 minutes before fight time, you will see 3 tweets that say, who's got the link?
Right. and Tyler, that's the best part of my 44K followers. Who's got the link? That is the one benefit I have.
It's the last
thing. I always get the link.
It's the last pure thing on Twitter is who's
right?
got the link.
It's who got the link. And they will, I'm a DM you. I got you, my DM. Thank you. You're such a beautiful human. You know what I mean? Who got that linker though? You feel me? That linkerooski.
All right. Speaking of unrealistic matchups, the reviews are in on our new podcast art. from our friends at the volume.
God damn, that was a slow burn.
No, you put a dunk on me.
Good shit, Mike.
And
God damn, that was brilliant, Mike.
First of all, that was brilliant. I ain't even mad at it.
Everybody loved the Dewey. Great artistic call to have the cape flowing.
That motherfucker was flowing too, though.
But a few people did notice.
Let's talk about it.
Hey, man, Mike got with the beard. You got it the natural way. You feel me? And you won't let me get away with the shit.
You do.
Tyler ignored it. You enjoyed that.
You have a real good 405 to the 10 interchange between your mustachios
right
and
here.
Beard
they forgot.
On the cartoon.
They forgot this naked part right here, dog.
So I want to know, who did you, I mean, was that a bribe?
Who did I pay off to get
how did you make that happen?
To get this part to connect?
Uh-huh.
No, bro, you know, I mean, you know, I didn't pay anybody off. It just... I didn't notice it. I just happened not to mention it when it was asked to be, you know. Do I fuck with it? Yes, I do. You know what I mean?
Bro.
That's all.
Bro, I'm sick that these motherfuckers didn't give me one lick of facial hair. Like, I know my goatee is weak as fuck, but goddamn, y'all got me looking like Douglas Wilder out this motherfucker.
They got you looking like a booty cheek.
Yeah, like, they didn't give me a lick of facial hair on that motherfucker, man. Maybe they gave my weak ass goatee to you to, like, make your weak
to fill in this spot. To fill in
it was a transplant. A graft occurred. There was
thank
a graft
you for your sacrifice. Sacrifice, Tyler. I appreciate you. You know, what I mean?
Right? Maybe two weak ass goatees make one beard. Maybe that's the market here for weak ass goatees.
What's crazy? I ain't even got a whole goatee. You got an actual goatee that connects. My shit.
Like, I gotta trim this shit, or I will look like that motherfucking. What's that sheriff in Milwaukee who doesn't like black people who's black? You know, y'all know who the fuck I'm talking about.
I know you're talking about.
Like my shit. No.
We don't want you looking like that, my boy.
My motherfucking goatee be up here by my nose, like Walker Texas Ranger.
So you can grow a real mustache.
Yeah.
I can grow that 1970s album art mustache.
You've seen pictures of Tyler as a baby. That's a baby that clearly would grow up to grow a mustache.
Right.
I can tell from the baby.
His dad had his chest out in pictures. Your mustache was going to be thick, if nothing else. You know what I mean? Them jeans was going to make one hell of a mustache for sure. You know what I mean? So, it doesn't surprise me. You know what I mean? Not at all.
All right. Well, congratulations. I'm glad you get the.
I'll take it. Thank you.
I'm happy for you. The timeline was happy for you.
I don't know if they was happy for me. They were happy to be able to clown me, and I'm happy if they're happy.
Yeah, like,
you know,
like,
me, so
like
I'll take it.
If I knew motherfuckers were handing out free beards, like, why y'all ain't email me? I would have wanted one too.
They gave me the John B. beard, though. They gave me this.
Yeah, they gave me the beard.
If I could
like
grow
right
this, if I could grow this, I wouldn't grow that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants. You gotta have a beard that goes up to here for it to feel like. You know what I mean? This is not 1999? You know what I mean? Like, they gave me the John B. little pointy.
You look good, bro. You look good.
Well, thank you. You just love me, and that's all. That's why you think that.
I'm happy for you. I know it's something you think about that it doesn't connect. So I'm happy for you.
Every day. My dad had a beard in 10th grade, dog, like yours.
A beard in 10th grade.
In 10th grade, there's a picture of him in his high school looking out the fucking window, and he has a full beard. You know what I mean? 10th grade. I am a year older than twice the age he was in 10th grade. And look at this. Look at me. It's hideous. You know, like this.
Bro,
this shit is crazy.
I can't grow a beard, but my pops did. And he's got a picture where he's got these big ass pork chops, right? With the goatee. And I'm like, dog, you intentionally made your beard not connect. Like, do you,
that was
right?
Back in the day,
I was
though.
Like, you know,
that
was
I was
like,
back
I was like
day,
bro,
though.
I would murder to have a beard that connected. And you intentionally made your shit not connect.
What,
just for
what
swagging.
Would you do for a beard?
A lot of shit, man.
What would you give up for a beard?
A lot of shit, man. You know, beards run my life, man. Like I just...
I'm 5'11". I'll probably give up another inch of height. You know what I mean? For 5'10" with a beard, bro. 5'11" is the trashiest height on the planet, though. Mike, you're 6 foot. You missed it.
because you're just almost 6 foot.
Bro, like, bro, 5'11", yeah. That inch between 5'11 and 6 foot is the biggest. It might as well be half a foot.
And no, and nobody.
You can be 5'4 and say you're 5'8", and they'll be like, and a woman will be like, yeah. If I'm 5'11", if I say I'm 6 foot, a woman will be like,
you're not 6 foot.
And nobody.
You're 5'10". And they're gonna take the inch away that I actually have.
And nobody will believe you when you tell them you're 5'11", because they've been gonna be like, this motherfucker's really like 5'6". You know what I mean? because if you get that close to 6 feet and just stop, not right.
It's the track. I'm 5'11" with my my bare feet. You know what I mean? And it's still like I'm just, you know, so like I would give up that inch, 5'10" with a full ass beard. You know, hey, I'd be cool.
I respect.
I still be taller than most women I date.
Well, here we go then, because the next thing we're gonna talk about was how bad billionaires are at being rich. Bro, you have Jeff Bezos, and I mean, we know what you guys would do if you had $1 billion. You get some, nothing. You know, you get the transplant, nothing. Bro. Well, you get the beard connected, and then
I would tell you, I'm gonna tell you this, dog. No, I wouldn't. Bro, you can get past this little. If I got $1 billion of them things, dog, you can look past the beard.
Okay, so what made you? I had a story about Elon Musk, but what made you say this about Jeff Bezos? You say he's trash
because he still has a job. The best part of, like, the main reason I'd want to be filthy rich is to not ever have to do shit again. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get excited about much as far as when it comes to career, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, I love what I do. You know what I mean? What excites me is the potential of never having to work again at some point. That's what excites me. Like, if I save enough money, invest wisely enough to be able to say, to do whatever I want to do. Yeah. This motherfucker got hundreds of, what's it, he's like $300 billion
or something? Hundreds something billionaire. I believe
they said at one point he might be worth $1 trillion.
Right. And he's just now stepping down from Amazon.
But he stepped down to another position.
Yeah. He stepped down for like CEO, like chairman or chairman.
To say, like, bro. The only reason is just the freedom, bro. And you're deciding not to be free of work when you have that much fucking money. I'm shocked by it.
James says he's only worth $197 billion.
Okay. But they were talking about he could be the first trillionaire. And I think they were talking, you know, that's with, because Amazon is, you know,
because Amazon's going to be the only thing that exists
that sells everything, sure, right? You know what I mean? But I just can't, like, why are you still working? You're horrible at being super, super rich.
You could literally buy a chain of islands.
And this is the thing. This is the thing. He has enough money to not work for 100 lifetimes and still be filthy rich in 100 lifetimes. If he invests his money for an infinite number of lifetimes, he could be rich. And you're choosing to work? Bro, just do what you feel like. You know what I mean? Every fucking day.
I think that's how you end up being worth $197 billion. Like, that's what he feels like doing, is working at Amazon. And
I remember I said this one time.
Economy.
I was like, the way to become a billionaire is not, this is what I imagine. I don't have the keys. I'm not a fucking clubhouse fucker.
Here we go.
You know, I got the keys. To
LLC Twitter.
Right. But I think I personally believe, you know what I mean? I don't have any proof I'm not a fucking billionaire. The way to become a billionaire is to want all the money in the world. You're not becoming a billionaire by just wanting to be a billionaire. You're becoming a billionaire by wanting all the fucking money. You know what I mean?
You have to want to provide something that nobody can live without. And Amazon damn near is that.
Because the level of convenience that we get with Amazon.
Hey, my Calvins that came today came 8 hours after I ordered them.
Let's talk about these draws, though, Mike. Hey, for the people.
Let's talk about Mike's draws, right?
Hey, yo. We signed with the Volume Podcast Network.
The Volume.
And I went nuts.
And how Mike
celebrated was going from Hanes to Calvin Klein. My man done got bougie. Okay. He like he saw his draws. It was like, no more of these. You know what I mean? He jumped from Haynes all the way to Calvin Klein, dog.
He went from like middle school
rec league ball to like the fucking, you know, this is at least overseas ball right here, Calvin Klein, dog. And you're in like France or Italy or something, you know what I mean? You're not, you know what I'm saying? You're not in Iceland.
I'm in the Superliga. I'm in the Superliga.
Right.
The other billionaire story that was crazy to me was the Elon Musk one, that he is just as like a hobby project trying to recreate Planet of the Apes. Like he's like funding some experiment that's going to lead to like monkeys or chimpanzees being able to like play games in their head and like develop telepathy and shit like that. And it's like, why don't you just be a billionaire, bro?
Well, think about this.
Why do you have to try and end the world?
But think about this, though. To me, that makes more sense than Jeff Bezos. This motherfucker like, I'm going to do shit that nobody else can do because I have the money to do shit that nobody else can do. I'm going to do like, Jeff Bezos is just fucking waking up in the morning and clocking in. Like, bro, you're doing shit that everybody does. And 99.9% of people hate that shit. This motherfucker is like, I mean, Elon Musk is horrible. You know what I mean? But at least he's creative and doing interesting shit. You know what I mean?
All right.
It makes more sense to me than
is that shit interesting or scary, though?
It's just both. Scary, bro. Both. It's just scary. Leave it alone, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Just leave it alone, dog.
It's bad. But he's going to do it, and I'm going to watch it, just like the Aaron Carter and fucking, you know what I mean? And
okay, fight. You got the backward segue, and I got the forward segue.
I got your back. You got the front, bro.
It's bad.
You know? Tyler got the middle.
It's crazy, and it shouldn't be done, but we're going to watch it. Yeah. I want to talk about WandaVision, and I'm going to say right now we have a producer, Brittany, on the show who is not caught up on WandaVision, so it's
mute
time
this
to
shit.
Put your earmuffs
Brittany,
on.
Mute this shit.
Because you deserve to watch it, you know what I'm saying, without spoilers. It's one of them shows for sure.
Okay, can I just say, before we start talking about the show, we need a new name for what modern television is or something, bro. Because like at this point, every show that Disney Plus puts out, or probably even that Netflix puts out, is better than every TV show that existed from when we were in high school prior, right?
We get, it's like the 10th episode will be like WandaVision 10. You know what I mean? Because every episode is a fucking movie.
With the budget,
you know what I mean?
Movie,
like, and I think that's how TV is done now. Like, even with like Game of Thrones, that TV show that shall not be named, you know what I mean?
But like, that was a TV show with a budget of like $200 million an episode. Like,
I mean, not starting off though.
No. But I'm saying in the final season, like, it's just not. It doesn't make sense to compare this shit to like.
But starting off, the way they approached it was like it was a movie, right? I think TV shows that the stuff we're getting now is not, doesn't feel like TV. Every episode is a movie, and we're getting the second one in the second episode. You know what I mean?
Tyler, how much are you loving WandaVision? What's your theories, bro?
I love it. I think that, you know, I hated the whole week by week drop when I saw that was how they were going to roll this shit out. But it's so perfect for WandaVision. Because it gives you time to sit with shit, think with shit, you know, fucking YouTube theories on shit. You know what I mean? So
you're doing that? You're doing on YouTube theories?
Yes.
You deep in that?
Oh, I'm deep in that. Game of Thrones scarred me.
It did. You said, I will never sign up for a week by week show again.
Yes.
Like, you were over that.
Yes.
You were only binging after that.
Right. But the motherfucking WandaVision theories on YouTube, yeah, a lot of shit checks out. I
sound like a fucking scientist.
A lot of shit.
You're a doctor. You have a PhD in WandaVision right now, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, we got the whole revelation that you know, Wanda has taken over some town in New Jersey and mm-hmm. has just, you know, sealed that shit off and has altered it to her own reality. And we know that the reality is that, you know, she's there to cope with the loss of vision. From when goddamn Thanos mm-hmm, hit them with mm-hmm. that bloop.
With that
yeah.
bloop. With that bloopity bloop. That blippity blap. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know,
that one scene where they show where the bloop got black, that was disturbing too.
When Vision's feet went limp and that shit turned grayscale, I was like, oh god damn. You really killed this motherfucker, but yeah.
You really right.
You really killed the existence of this fucking universe.
But that scene in the most recent episode when they showed him like that,
that fucked me up
for like 3 seconds.
That was disturbing. Like, whoa. That was, yeah, right. Yeah, like, hold up now.
And that scene,
Shark grabbed me hard as fuck. Yeah. She was,
and that scene,
it was like the scene in was it Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
When the kid turned around, right, you saw the back of his head. Yeah. It was like, you know what I mean? It was like, that sense.
And that scene was important because we all know at this point that Wanda is trying to bury her trauma, but you just can't fucking try to dust that shit over. It's going to always resurface. And that was the point of that scene.
She's doing what everyone who's lost someone would do if they had her powers.
Right. Exactly.
She wrapped herself in a cocoon and she said, nope, fuck this.
I want to thank you guys for telling me to continue watching because this is a totally different show from what I thought it was going to be. But after getting to the fourth episode, I realized how brilliant the first two episodes were. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I understand why you didn't fuck with the first two episodes.
Because I'm like, is this what we're getting for 10 episodes? And even the second episode, I was like, I know they're moving decade to decade, but I don't necessarily like need, you know, Brady Bunch and like I Love Lucy, you know what I mean? I'm good on that. But then when it took that turn in the third, I'm like, okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
You have my attention. And now I'm like,
yeah.
I'm strapped in, you know what I mean? I'm ready to go. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You thought it was some I Love Lucy bullshit, and you see that it's now a show that is posing the most existential question of what would you do if you could, you know, fully orchestrate the events of your life, devoid of trauma, which is some heavy shit. You know what I mean?
I mean, but she is not devoid of trauma.
She's trying to avoid it, but it's going to always bubble up though. And which is, you know, like I said, which is why we saw fucking Reality Stone fucking Vision head popped out.
You saw the domed in Vision for that second.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm like, knowing the nature of her powers, I'm just curious, like, are the babies real? You know, like, does she know she's doing it? Or is she wrapping it around her head so tight that she'll forget? You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious about where all that shit is going to go.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, she did have those babies in, like, 45 minutes. So, I don't know.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, like, that's her whole power is to create, you know what I mean? To be able to create, to be able to manipulate reality. Like, it's some heavy shit.
I imagine being a therapist watching this. You know what I mean? I'd be taking notes.
Ooh, I should talk to my therapist about this shit next week. That's a good idea, bro.
But I might talk to mine too. Like, yeah.
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Have you seen WandaVision?
right. What do you think about that? You know what I'm saying?
Your thoughts.
From a psychology perspective. right. You know what I mean? Bring it to the podcast, Mike. You know what I mean?
I like that.
I want to know what she says.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
It's super smart. It's brilliant how they started it off and now how they're making that turn. And at first I was like, it took me to the fourth episode to realize the brilliance of it, but I'm hella excited about where it's going. And it's wild.
It is. I'm like Tyler. It's to the point to me where like on Monday I was thinking about like, ooh, like only 5 days until until the new WandaVision drops.
Only almost a week. Only almost the same time. That I know. Yeah, that's I don't know, bro. Yeah. I'm not that into it, but like I'm ready when it's time.
You know, Tyler and I are real Marvel zombies, bro.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
Fucking, this shit's baked into us.
Y'all are real dorks.
We are real fucking comic book dorks. Yeah.
I sent. We're such dorks. I sent Tyler one of the comic books that the show is based off of. I mailed it to him.
I can't wait to read that motherfucker.
Via Jeff Bezos's.
Jeff motherfucking Bezos.
Y'all were in there like reading comic books as a kid in your room. I was just drawing shit, so I was nerdy
too. Do you not remember when the Marvel baseball cards dropped in like 91? No,
that Marvel Masterworks.
Oh my god, the Marvel Masterworks. With the holograms and shit. Dude, I fucking I loved
how old were we when that happened? I was trying to figure out what was I doing?
Fifth grade.
Yeah. We were kids at the right time, but the thing that's crazy to me, even as a comic book geek as a kid, I would never have imagined I'd be watching a TV show about fucking Wanda Maximoff and the Vision.
Right.
Mm-hmm, like that's mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. The whole Marvel shit was built off characters that no one gave a fuck about when we were kids, bro.
When I was growing up, if it was an X family affiliate, if it was an X-Men, mm-hmm. X-Force, X-Factor, we didn't give a fuck. We didn't give a fuck about it. Nigga, did you see how big motherfucking Captain America's boots were on the motherfucking appearance? Nigga, them bitches was folded over. Right? Coming down to his ankles. We did not fuck with the Avengers, dog.
No, I didn't care about the Avengers. I cared about Spider-Man, Batman, and the X-Men.
Right.
That's who I cared about.
That's it, dog.
I didn't have one Thor comic book, not one Iron Man comic book, definitely not a Captain America comic book.
Never. We ain't give a fuck about that.
And they
the
had
Avengers.
Me in the movie theater crying about Bucky and shit. Right. You know what I mean?
That is an amazing story of theirs that they took B-list characters and turned them into fucking American.
How do y'all know these stories, though? Because people will be like, according to this, you know, like talking about these backstories, how do y'all all know these backstories, even though y'all didn't give a fuck about them when it was?
I'll say this, if they're pulling from storylines from like, say, you know, 1990 to like 1998, I know all that shit. After around that time is when I kind of tapped out.
Yeah, and I tapped out a little before 98, but then Shar and I got back into comic books. Before I became a sports writer, I was actually covering comic books. Like, I was covering comic book conventions. And so we sort of got back into it at that point and then just sort of stayed. But the books that WandaVision is based on came out fairly recently. So the one I sent Tyler just came out like 2 years ago. It's actually sort of a flip perspective. It's about Vision building this like perfect suburban life for himself with this creative stuff, but it tackles a lot of the same questions. Like, if you create the perfect spouse for yourself, but she's created from you, is that still a relationship? You know what I mean? Or is it just,
bro, you making my head hurt, dog. Come on, man. Too late out here, bro.
All right.
We'll but leave that's it a there. Hell of a question.
we'll leave it there, but I'm excited to talk about WandaVision with you guys more in the future. Fuck, I'm giving Brittany the thumbs up that we're done talking about it now. I think that's it.
Episode
of the Jenkins and Jones Show with the Volume Podcast Network. I'm excited, man. Here we go. We're in it now.
We're two episodes in.
It's official now.
I love y'all, boys, man. It's always good talking to you. Show, you lift my spirits.
For sure. Always a good fucking time. Love y'all too, man.
Always
a great fucking time.
When I'm seeing these faces, damn right, it's a good time.
All right, y'all.